Hello, good evening, and welcome back to the Social Club, the general football podcast brought to you by the Chronicles of Aguna and sponsored by TV Sports Blog. Lots and lots to dissect this evening, and I'm joined by a brilliant panel. Hello, good evening, and welcome back to another edition of The Social Club, brought to you by tvsportsblog.com. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeu, and there has been some huge news coming out of Spain this evening, and I'm delighted to be joined by a wonderful panel to discuss that. We're going to be talking Thomas Partey, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Harry Maguire and the trouble that he finds himself in at the moment as well. Joining me, first of all, welcome back to the show, Mr. Dan De Luca. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very good. Pleasure to be on as always.
Pleasure to have you on, my friend. Of course it is. And we're delighted to be joined by Spanish football expert and renowned journalist Jonas Yever. Welcome back to the show, mate. It's been a while. How are you?
It's been a while. Doing good here in Oslo, Norway. It's getting a little bit chilly here now, but I suppose being as northern as we are, that is to be expected when we're nearing the fall months, I suppose.
You know what? I've just come back from Greece and I'm bloody freezing here, so I can't imagine what you're feeling up in Oslo. Guys, there is so much to discuss, so let's start trying to unpack it all. And of course, the big news coming out of Spain this evening is that Lionel Messi has asked to leave Barcelona. He wants to terminate his contract. We understand that Barcelona are a little bit I'm not going to say unhappy with it. Well, obviously they're going to be unhappy. Anyone would losing Messi, but there's something in sort of the reports that are flying around that this clause expired in June and Messi's still trying to exercise it. Jonas, can you try and provide some light onto what is actually happening here for those of us who aren't into Spanish football as much as you are?
Trying to dissect it as much as possible. This is a long, long, long story, but I'll try and make it as short as possible. Regarding the contract clause, usually at the end of May, meaning that at the end of the season, players who stayed at Barcelona for a long time, i.e. Lionel Messi, Carlos Puyol, Xavi, Piqué will have this clause in his contract. Lionel Messi has it. They can break the contract unilaterally and go to whichever club they want as sort of a token of goodwill and for great service and so forth. Iniesta used it to go to Japan. We've seen Xavi use it to go to Qatar. It's not a new thing, but it expires at the May 30th, I believe it is. It has been previously, but I believe this one was pushed a little bit to the end of June. However, Lionel Messi has today, according to Spanish press, and I believe it's been confirmed by several media now, has delivered a fax of all things, a bureau fax, as they call it, which is sort of a more formal way of letting someone know that you wish to switch or change something, saying that he wants to break his contract unilaterally. However, Barcelona is saying that the contract that clause has expired for this season, meaning that they believe he cannot do it, and the only way for him to leave is for Barcelona to agree a fee with someone, or for someone to pay his buyout clause of 700 million euros. The thing now is that it's probably going to be a court case here if Messi is adamant that he wants to leave and Barcelona adamant that they want him to stay, because obviously both parties have a good argument for their cause. What I believe this is the ultimate power play by a superstar wanting to oust the board, because it's been a long and dragged out war between the players and the board at Barcelona, primarily Lionel Messi and the board. Messi has obviously become the leader of the squad and the captain of the squad. And there's been a lot of rumblings and a lot of stories and a lot of, I suppose in Spain you'd say polémicas. It's just been a soap opera that's been going on for the past almost 2 years now, and it seems as if Messi has finally had enough. He's finally said that I don't want to be part of this anymore. And I believe one of the statements from Marcelo Belcher, who was the one who reported it first, is that Lionel Messi feels like he could help Barcelona, but he, for the first time in his career, feels that Barcelona cannot help him anymore. And that is the reason why he wants to leave and wants to pursue something else in his career.
It's a hard one, isn't it? Because a lot of people would, you know, one of the criticisms that people tend to throw at Lionel Messi, and I find it hard that anybody could throw any criticism at a player so good, but a lot of people would say, oh, but he hasn't gone anywhere else. He hasn't, you know, tested himself in other leagues. He hasn't, you know, gone around the globe to try and prove himself, similarly to the way Ronaldo has. But I mean, Dan, is this the right way of going about it? Should he be criticized for the way he's going about this? Or do you think he's got every right to do this, having given him so much over the years?
I think, you know, first of all, the clause is in his contract for a reason. So it's recognizing good his loyalty, paying him off with goodwill. So I've got no issue with that. The club have put it in. If he wants to exercise it, that's fine. I guess the timings are a bit off, and with the season extending because of COVID, you know, if you put a date on it and the season extends beyond that date, then I can see why it's complicated. I doubt Lionel Messi has woken up this morning and just sent a fax in. So I would imagine there would have been conversations rumbling on. For me, I broke this news 2 weeks ago, by the way, but because I'm a nobody, no one gave a shit. But I Bayern Munich went 2-0 up, and I did say this would be Messi's last game for Barcelona. You could see rumblings even from your own couch that the things weren't well at Barcelona. And you've got to think why the clubs have cycles. And it's because for a player to pick themselves up, or a group of players to pick themselves up time and time and time again, after a while, it just becomes a chore. And I guess Messi's probably had a couple of weeks thought after the Bayern Munich game and decided, I haven't really got the energy at the age of 33 to lift myself up to try and do it again with this club time and time again. So the issue for me would be, you know, goodwill or otherwise, the Spanish season doesn't, you know, it starts again very soon. Barcelona need to replace who is still their best player. He is still their best player today. He wants to leave the club. They need to replace him. They haven't got long. So should Barcelona just bend over and say, okay, well, thanks for everything, Lionel. We'll leave a massive hole in them. We'll leave a massive hole in our squad. I don't think they should be doing that. So the fact is that you know, the world is alerted to the fact that Lionel Messi is now transferable. Whether that is on a free transfer, whether, you know, Barcelona can help him find a club for a fee that perhaps would satisfy all parties so they can reinvest that money into the squad. And it needs some reinvestment, clearly. But for me, I kind of look at the appointment of Ronald Koeman as perhaps the final straw for Lionel Messi, because philosophies at football clubs are spoken about a lot, but philosophies end. Philosophies have a shelf life, and Barcelona's philosophy is not paying dividends anymore. The players coming out of the La Masia Academy are not of the quality they used to be. That might feel unfair because we had an exceptional array of talent coming out of there. But the transfers that they're bringing in are not of the quality that they used to be, for whatever reason. So you're looking at Ronald Koeman. His last job, he left when he was in the relegation zone, the last club job. He was in the relegation zone at Everton. So Barcelona aren't headhunting him because of that performance. You know, he didn't pull up many trees at Southampton. He did an okay job. Now he's at Holland. But what it is, it's the Barcelona way of the last 15 years to bring in lesser known managers, if you like, or players who have an affiliation with the club like Ronald Koeman has. And I guess Messi's looked at that appointment and thought, do you know what? Nothing's different. Nothing is going to change here. And I just don't want to do this again. I haven't got the energy anymore to try and lift this team. And we've got to remember about Lionel Messi. You can look at it and say he's not the player he was. Well, he may well not be. You know, he's not scoring 92 goals in a calendar year. Well, you know, shoot him down. He became the first player in La Liga history to score 20 goals and 20 assists in a single season. That was this season. He's still the best player in that division. I would say he's lost the hunger, and the board appointing Ronald Koeman has probably not encouraged him to find that fight.
Jonas, you mentioned that it might be a big power play from a superstar, and there seem to be a few people in the comments joining us at the moment who are saying that as well. Actually, they don't think Messi is actually going to go anywhere. How would you rate his chances in terms of a percentage, maybe, of him actually leaving, or this being exactly what you said, a power play in order to try and maybe influence change at Barcelona?
Depends on if that change happens. If that change does not happen, I think the chances of him leaving are extensively greater than before. I think we've come to a point where it's now or never for Messi in terms of leaving and actually having that power over Barcelona, because at age 33, he's not getting any younger. We do not know if he's getting any worse, because it doesn't seem to be getting that much worse, even though he's getting older. He keeps reinventing himself as a player. So that's not really the focal point of this discussion. But the thing is that he's tired of the board, and it seems like that the players are tired of the board and the fans are tired of the board, considering how badly they've spent money, how badly they've replaced players, how badly they've hired and sacked managers, because they sacked Ernesto Valverde when they were number one in La Liga. They were reigning cup and league champions. No, they weren't reigning cup champions. They were reigning league champions, but they won the cup the year previously and the league the year previously. But they sacked him considering he struggled to win in Europe. And that was sort of the big thing for Barcelona. And a lot of people said that they lacked sort of that last attacking star when Neymar went, and they went out and they bought Coutinho, who was supposed to replace Iniesta, and they bought Dembele, who was supposed to replace Neymar. And we can be honest and say that didn't work out. But the fact of the matter is that the board has not really done their job in terms of finding the players and finding the resources in order to strengthen Barcelona, especially when you see how other teams are doing it. Manchester City have been doing it. You see Manchester United spend huge amounts of money on players who you'd struggle to see him actually walk into the Barcelona squad. But even though they're spending the type of money that I think Messi and Barcelona players would like to see being spent on their squad. And you also see Real Madrid, who obviously won the La Liga this season and were absolutely dominant after the pandemic break. And considering that they haven't won the Champions League or been in the Champions League final since 2015, that's a long time for a guy like Lionel Messi. He's seen Real Madrid win it three times in a row. Obviously, that hurts him because he's a competitor and he would like to equal Cristiano Ronaldo. I think that's a little thing that haunts him a little bit, that he's not able to do that. So I think that perhaps this is the straw that's broken the camel's back. I don't think Ronald Koeman has that much to do with it, because I think this has been a thing that's been going on for so long. And I think that the A2 beating of Barcelona wasn't really necessarily, look how far we've fallen. It was just an underlining of the decline that Barcelona has had the past, I'd say, almost 4 or 5 years. But previously, they've been able to paper over the cracks because they had Neymar, they had Suarez, and they had Messi in their primes, and they won El Triple when they won La Liga, the Cup, and the Champions League. This has been a declining squad for so long, and Barcelona have not been able to fix that, I suppose, and to invest in that squad to a greater extent. So I think we're just seeing Lionel Messi finally coming to a point where the power play is. He is now previously it was that he would like to leave next season. Then it was rumors that he wanted to leave now, and now we actually have the confirmation that he wants to leave, because the Barcelona board are not leaving. They've just said that they would like to move the election a little bit further forward, but this is the power play. This is it. This is where Messi has said, I am going to leave. And if the Barcelona board does not resign, I think he will leave. But if they do resign and they do leave, I think the chances are much greater and much bigger that he will remain at Barcelona, because the new board that will come in more than likely will become a guy named Victor Font, who has said that he'd like to sort of take Barcelona back to their roots. He'd like to make Xavi the new head coach. He'd like to give Carlo a role at the club and sort of make Barcelona what it once was. But it'll be interesting to see, because we're reaching a point now where it's never, ever, ever, ever been as close as this for Messi to leave Barcelona. So it'd be interesting to see what's going to develop tonight, first and foremost, and also in the coming days. It's Tuesday, guys. I mean, the week has just started. So, I mean, this is going to be a long week for Barcelona fans.
Yeah, indeed it will be. And as you said, this is huge. This is really, really big. And you're right. This is the closest we've ever seen Lionel Messi come to leaving Barcelona, a club with whom he has such a great history with, a great association with, a club that is home, ultimately. You know, yes, he's Argentinian, but Barcelona is very much Lionel Messi's home. Just before we continue, guys, there are over 250 of you watching us live at the moment across the multiple platforms. If you haven't smashed that like button already, already, please, please do so. I hate going on about it, but it really, really does push the videos up the rankings, as you've seen in the recent videos. And of course, just a week ago, week and a half ago, we were saying thank you to you guys for taking us up to 5K subscribers on YouTube, where we're now just 50 away from hitting 6K. So we've come a long way in just another week. So please, please do subscribe if you're new to the channel. And we're going to be bringing you plenty more content over the coming weeks. Let's talk a little bit about Thomas Partey. And there have been reports this evening that, or this afternoon, I should say, that Arsenal are looking to drop their interest in the Atletico Madrid midfield player. And that is because Atletico Madrid are not budging on the player's release clause. 50 million euros is understood to be the release clause, and Arsenal are not willing to pay that, and at least not in one go, and Atletico are not budging. Dan, just before I come to Jonas on a little bit more sort of detail on Thomas Partey, this is someone that has very much been touted as Arsenal's priority transfer target this summer. If they're refusing to sort of meet the release clause, and 50 million is not an outrageous release clause for a player like Thomas Partey, are Arsenal missing a trick here, in your view?
No, I just think they've probably got a limited amount of budget. And if they don't sign Luis Suarez for 40 million and £1, then this whole transfer window has been a joke. I think with Arsenal, they don't have the money. I think that was evident last year. There was a reason Pepe was signed for £72 million and Wilf Sahar was. Whether you think Pepe's a better player than Wilf Sahar then or now is irrelevant. There was a reason that deal was done and not the other, and that was because of the installments and the way it was done. So Arsenal's transfer, you look at, you know, Arsenal's transfers over the last season and a half, they've been very much shrewd financial sort of transfers. Installments, hoping that the Champions League money, which ultimately didn't come, would cover it off. David Luiz for £8 million, relatively, you know, young players like Martinelli. So I don't think the money's there to be slapping down 50 million in one go. So I think the issue with this deal will be more the structure and what Atletico Madrid are willing to accept. And I guess that's why it's rumbled on. He's been a well-known target. I think the player probably wants to join Arsenal. I think Arsenal definitely need a player in that position. Arsenal have, you know, they've brought in Willian on a free transfer, you know, so that, you know, there's some money in the wage, but in the wage budget that they're clearly expecting to free up, perhaps by Ozil departing if he does, and things like that, which can cover off Aubameyang's contract and Willian on quite a handsome deal for his age. But in terms of pure transfer cash, I don't think there's a lot there, and I think that's what it comes down to. Arteta has done a great job. I think he'll continue to do a great job, but he wasn't a managerial appointment of a club who had money. I just don't think there is the funds available to get this deal over the line. And really, if you look at Arsenal's squad, again, it's going to feel like a bit of a pop at Arsenal. It's not meant to be, but Arsenal's squad has declined in quality over the last three or four seasons. So there's not really that many players there that you could sell to generate cash. The only real player you look at, you know, Lacazette could go and bring some money in. How much? But then you'd need another striker, probably. Aubameyang, you still get some money for him, but why the hell would you want to? Because he's a fantastic striker. So I think really Arsenal are in a place where they have to sell to generate pure funds, and they're just, yeah, not able to get the deal over the line. That's how I see it.
Jonas, from sort of your understanding of sort of the reports in Spain and stuff, and, you know, it's been said throughout this summer, or since the transfer window opened, in fact, that, you know, countless reputable journalists who report on Arsenal on a regular basis have all said that Thomas Partey has been Arsenal's number one primary target this summer. To your knowledge, is the fee the issue, and are these reports accurate that Arsenal have said, well, actually, we can't do this deal, so let's walk away?
Primarily, I don't know whether or not Arsenal walked away or whether the fee is the issue or whatever. All I'm going to say is 50 million euros, if that is an issue for Arsenal to bring in a guy like Thomas Partey, then I don't really know what the finances are like at Arsenal. But I mean, it's a steal. It's a bargain to bring him in at that price. I mean, he is a sublime talent. I absolutely adore this player. He's almost as good defensively as offensively at times. I mean, perhaps he has some long range shots as well, but I mean, that's usually not what he does for Atletico Madrid, but he can do that. He can drive forward with the ball. He picks a pass. He's extremely intelligent on the ball, and he knows how to position himself. He breaks up play. At times, he was dominant against Liverpool at Anfield, as we all saw. And he's been doing that in La Liga for the past 2 years. And I mean, when I saw that the release clause was 50 million euros, I was thinking, well, shoot, at least 3, 4, maybe even 5 teams in the Premier League should just bid that and hope that they get his yes, because he's a sublime talent. Yes, he's 27 years old. Yes, he's not in perhaps that age where you think you're going to resell him at some point. But his physicality and the way he views the game and understands the game, he's excellent for the Premier League. He'd be perfect for any of the big sides, I think. And he'd walk into, at least if you look at the top 6, I think at least 3, maybe even 4 of those teams would welcome him with open arms, and he'd play almost every game if he was injury free, because he is so good. So I don't understand why Arsenal are not doing it. I mean, if they can afford to sign Gabriel Magalhães, for example, if they can afford to perhaps sign Willian on a sign-on fee, whatever they've done with that, I don't understand why they're not spending that money on bringing in someone who would be addressing a huge issue at Arsenal, I think, which is how dynamic or lack of dynamicism, and if that's a word, I'm not quite sure if that's the English word, but lack of pace and power in midfield, I should say, because I think Arsenal have been lacking that a little bit, even though they have a solid and good passing midfield, but they've lacked that sort of combative force in midfield that I think that Thomas Partey would be. And I mean, a team like Man United should address the same thing and look directly at him to address a few of their issues and perhaps release Paul Pogba as well. So, I mean, I'm just flabbergasted that more teams have not gone in for him, especially when that is the price. I'd even go as far as to say, in Spain, they've said that Atletico Madrid would like to renew his contract and that they'd like to up his release clause to 100 million euros. I'd even do a deal at that.
Wow. It's a big claim, Jonas. It's a big claim. I mean, Arsenal fans are, you know, the majority are very keen to see him come in, of course. But it is, listen, Arsenal are in a really, really sticky situation at the moment. And we've been having debates over the last few days about, you know, the sale that looks like it's about to happen of Ainsley Maitland-Niles. Do we want to sell him? Well, ideally, no, because he's proven himself at times to be a very good utility man. He's filled in midfield, at right back, left back. So he's not the type of player you want to lose, but we know and we're very aware of the fact that Arsenal are going to have to sell before they can bring in. And maybe the situation may change in the coming weeks if Arsenal are able to ship out a couple of players that they do want to get rid of and they are able to recuperate fees for them. Perhaps we'll see Arsenal come back to the table again. I have to stress, though, the reports that we are hearing that Arsenal have walked away from this, I can't say they're from a particularly reliable source. I can't say that you know, they're concrete, and there has been so much contradictory stuff flying around in the media in recent weeks. It's always difficult to siphon out what is genuine and what is bullshit a lot of the time. So I'm not going to completely give up hope on Arsenal signing Thomas Partey, but that is the indications that we're getting are that at the moment the clubs are quite a way away in terms of their valuation for Thomas Partey. And, you know, initially we were told Arsenal would do the deal, but they wanted to pay it in installments. Atletico won't be able to replace him with installments, though. And I can understand as well, you know, where they're coming from. Lots of people giving their thoughts in the comments section as well. Keep those coming, guys. Keep the likes coming as well. Let's get to 100 likes by the end of the stream. And we're going to move on now to another huge story. And that is involving Manchester United's Harry Maguire. Of course, he was arrested in Mykonos just a few days ago. He has been found guilty now of a number of things, actually, which I'll just read off to you because the list of charges is so bloody long. You know, it's a big deal. He's been withdrawn now from the England squad. He's received a suspended prison sentence of 21 months and 10 days after being found guilty of aggravated assault, resisting arrest, and repeated attempts of bribery. Dan, what's your take on this? And has he got away lightly? Because I know he's got a suspended sentence, but it's a suspended sentence. And has the fact that he is Harry Maguire helped him out here?
Probably. I guess we should start by getting the obvious out of the way. His defence was clearly as bad as himself. I don't know. I've not seen any videos. I've been waiting for some kind of footage that makes anything kind of clear. But, you know, look, you know, we're all lads. There's a lot of lads listening to this. He's obviously got drunk in Mykonos, and he's caused a bit of a stir. And the police have come in, and he didn't want to play ball. Now, how bad is it? I don't know. 21 months suspended prison sentence seems pretty severe on face value. But by the same token, he's not going to go to Greece again for the next 21 months. So I guess he's pretty safe. I think he's lucky it was in Greece, if I'm honest. I think if it was in this country, it would have been a lot more difficult for him to brush under the carpet. I think this will blow over very quickly. I just want to see, in the land of technology, I want to see what's happened. I don't read all these reports. There must be someone with a camera phone. What has he done? Has anyone seen this? There's not even one ropey thread on Twitter of the aftermath. And we know that the Mediterranean police forces can be a little bit handy. So, you know, where does resisting arrest become assault? I wouldn't like to say my experience doesn't extend that far, but it just sounds like he's had a few too many sherbets, and it's got a little bit out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, you're right to make that comment about, in particular, the Greek police. I've seen them firsthand. You know, they I'm not going to say they go looking for trouble, because they don't, and they're doing their job, and et cetera, et cetera. But where they differ to the British police, for those of you who haven't been, is they are not overweight, you know, someone who has too many beers every evening, who can't run for more than 5 minutes. They are pretty much soldiers. And if you do start with them, they will not hesitate in dishing it back out. And, you know, I'm not surprised to hear that there was some form of altercation. Jonas, you're somebody who obviously follows Man United and has sort of a close following of that club. As a fan of Manchester United, how are you feeling about this whole Maguire thing, and where do you think this goes from now? Does he get punished by the club? Is this something that can just be swept under the carpet?
I got to say, first and foremost, in Norway, we have stereotypes of English people going to countries like Greece and Spain and Portugal and so forth and causing trouble. So when I was reading the story, I have to be honest, I was sort of chuckling away and thinking this was just a stupid, he's drunk story sort of thing. Which I've seen and witnessed in person many a times when I've gone to countries such as Spain, Greece, and Turkey, and so forth and so forth. I think what differs here is the bribery thing. I think that's uncalled for. I think that's shameful. I think that's not something that he nor anyone should be associated with, trying to bribe a police officer or something along those lines. I mean, he's been convicted of it. I mean, if he's been convicted of it, obviously there's evidence that proves it. So, I mean, there's nothing else to say in that regard. And I think Man United need to take a stand against that. And I would love for him to make a public apology in relation to everything that's been going on the past couple of days. And I mean, he was 2 days, I believe, in Greek prison or Greek jail or whatever. So, I mean, that needs to be addressed as well. And what the club should do, what fans should feel, that's not up to me to say. But I think that bribery is extremely an extremely serious offense, and it should not be happening, regardless if you're Harry Maguire or I mean Harry Johnson or Harry Simeon or whoever you are. Hey. I mean, you shouldn't be doing that. I mean, it's to me quite a horrible offense. So. I think is it
a bribe, though? Has he put a load of cash in an envelope and said taken that, or has he been arrested and he's made a jovial comment like, you know, I earn 80 grand a week for letting goals in, I slip in. Come on, we've all been pissed on a Greek island. I'm not saying it's right, but there's something about this that feels to me like, it just feels to me like a, you know, You said, has he got away with it because he's Harry Maguire? I'm kind of feeling the opposite. I kind of feel like now the aftermath is worse because he's Harry Maguire.
That could be. That could be. But I think that it was a report that someone tried to inject his sister with something. I read that was someone who stabbed his sister with something. I mean, I'm not able to see a situation where if someone stabbed or injected my sister with anything that I'd like to make a jovial comment about anything afterwards. I mean, to be honest, it says aggravated assault. Yes. I mean, that would aggravate me. I would be very aggravated if someone tried to do that towards one of my family members. And I'm not quite sure if I'd be as jovial and fun-loving after that. But I get your point. I see your point. And perhaps it becomes even worse because it is Harry Maguire. But at the same time, if you're convicted of bribery, you're still convicted of bribery. And I don't look too lightly on that. I think that's kind of, I'm not quite sure if what word to use for it, but I think it's a little bit shameful, to be honest.
I'm more surprised that a Greek police officer, and I can say this because I'm Greek, that a Greek police officer didn't take the bribe and actually grassed him up for offering it. That's what I'm more surprised about. Because, you know, I would expect, knowing that it's Harry Maguire, that you'd say, well, you know, you can write me a handsome check here and we'll forget all about this. But
who plays football for 11 months a year, gets 4 weeks off essentially, and goes on holiday with their sister? Like, who does that? I don't understand that. Like, I don't understand that at all. That's a weird little arrangement there.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
Neymar. Neymar kind of does that a couple of times, doesn't he?
Yeah, but his sister's probably his agent, so that doesn't count.
Let's.
It's very strange. I find it very strange. Like it. I've been on holiday to my sister visiting family, but at what point do you like ring up your sister and say, oh, let's go on holiday in the off season?
Let's go to Mykonos together. Yeah, I guess so. He's in a hard place now, Harry Maguire, because if he does apologize, he's almost, unless he words it very, very carefully, he's almost admitting guilt when he's pleaded not guilty. And so he's in a very difficult position now where, if he does come out and say something, it has to be very smartly constructed in a way that doesn't sort of go back on the stance that he's taken throughout this. Listen, I think everybody makes mistakes. I think we've all been in situations where we've had a few drinks or we've gone a little bit OTT. I do think that the reporting of the incident, and I was in Greece at the time, and Jonas, the stereotype that you spoke of was very much the sort of narrative that was taken by the Greek press, and, you know, it is a situation they've dealt with a load of times and that kind of thing. And particularly with British tourists, and they've run with that. And I think that hasn't helped Maguire in any way, shape or form, which is unfair because it's not like he goes and does it every year. But, you know, it is something that, you know, it was always going to get the heat. It was always going to cause a stir. And, you know, for Harry Maguire's sake, he'll be hoping that this will blow over sooner rather than later. And one thing you can guarantee in this world is that someone else will do something even more stupid in the next few weeks, and then you'll be yesterday's news. So we can park that. And he's been withdrawn from the England squad, understandably so. I think that was the right decision as well. He'll just be hoping that this blows over sooner rather than later. Right, guys, that brings us to the end of this week's edition of The Social Club. If you haven't already, smash that like button on YouTube. As I said, it's so, so important. And if you haven't subscribed already, hit that subscribe button, because we're just around about where we were when we started this stream, around about 50 subscribers away from hitting the 6K mark on YouTube. That's not even including all you wonderful people that listen to us via the audio platforms as well. So we're grateful for all your support on whichever platform it is you consume the content. I want to thank, first of all, Dan for coming back on. Dan, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And I want to say a massive thanks to Jonas, our guest this evening, lending his Spanish football expertise to the panel this evening. Jonas, thank you so much, mate. And good to catch up with you again.
Thank you so much for having me on. Hope to be back on soon.
No worries. The pleasure is all ours. Hit that like button, hit the subscribe button. You know the drill by now, and we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be bringing you two streams tomorrow, one at 12:30 p.m. where we'll be looking back on Arsenal's 4-1 victory over MK Dons in a friendly this evening. And we'll also be bringing you our usual transfer update show at around about 5:30 p.m. So until then, take care and we'll be back soon. All the best.